Welcome to the December 27th, 2009 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today is College Sunday with a service led by our college students. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now, for our worship service.
Good morning. Glad that you could all be here today on this beautiful Sunday morning. Hope that you had a very Merry Christmas and looking forward to a very Happy New Year with a lot of ham and no fires, please. So, like I said, this is College Sunday. We would like to extend a welcoming hand to you, and there's pew pads at the end of each pew. If you could fill those out, pass them down the pew, and once they get down to the end, pass them back. And the first person, if you could, and do us a favor and tear out that top page so that we can collect them later. The white Christmas gifts will be brought down during the first hymn, which is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. So if you could please bring those down during that first hymn. The Lottie Moon offering. As of now, the total is $14,464.25. So we're doing a good job and keep up the good work. We'd also like to announce that there is no Sunday night activity tonight and no Wednesday night activity this week. If you would like to look at the back of your bulletin, you can keep up with the events or breaking news that's going on in the church throughout this week. To bring to your attention, we'd like to tell you that there will be a called conference next Sunday during worship. So just keep that in mind. We'd also like to extend a welcome to our guests, and we'd like to call down the ushers. And as they come down, we'd like to inform you that they'll be giving out some information about the church. So if you could raise your hand as they go down the aisles, and if you're a guest, and they'll give you some information. We're so glad that you're here. We're glad that you can be a part of this special worship service. The college students have worked hard. They've taken a tough semester, and they've come home for a break, and now they're going to go about their business and try to lead you in worship. So the last thing I have to announce is that we'd hope that you can all stand and sing our call to worship. We'll be singing Joy to the World, and it is in the bulletin. So could you please stand?
Please pray with me. As we gather in your presence, help us to be attentive to the glory of your light that shines upon us. Renew our minds, cleanse our hearts, and help us to be open fully to your glorious presence. As we have celebrated the gift of Christ's birth, help us to remember to also celebrate your gift of rebirth and eternal life. Guide us to follow you one step at a time as we move through your world. Help us to walk by faith and seek you. We rejoice as we enter into this time of spiritual communion with you. Speak to us, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. It is very exciting for me to stand before you on College Sunday. Many of our college students are here today. Some are not. They're traveling for Christmas vacation. But many were able to come, and they were able to bring decorations for the church this morning. I don't know where that ECU thing came from. But don't we like saying we're number one? How many of you say we're number two? Nobody ever says that. They say we're number one. You could be in last place in the entire country in football, and a TV camera comes on you, and you're going, we're number one. Isn't that what we like to do? You know, Albert Einstein went to a Christmas party. I don't know if you've heard this story or not, but he went to a Christmas party and he introduced himself to the very first person that he saw. And he asked, what's your IQ? And the man said, 241. Albert Einstein said, that is great. We will discuss quantum mechanics and we will have all kinds of discussions. That'll be great. Well, he went to the next person. He said, What's your IQ? And the lady responded, 144. And Albert said, oh, that's great. We could talk about politics and culture. We'd have a whole lot to talk about. And he went to the next person. And he said, what's your IQ? And the man said, 51. Albert said, how about them Tar Heels? Not yet. Our colors with pride. We are strong supporters of our schools, of our institutions, no matter what. We send them lots of money. We spend lots of time thinking about wanting to beat the other team. And we spend a lot of time being very prideful about who we support. And I wonder this morning, as we start College Sunday, as you see these colors in front of you and what they represent, that we want to be number one. I wonder, who is number one in your life? Or if a team loses, does it change how you feel about life and about yourself? If your job doesn't work out the way you think it should, does it destroy who you are? Who is number one in your life? As we come off of Christmas, and what an amazing Christmas celebration it was, we love being at church at Christmas time because it's all about winning. It's all about hope. I wonder today, where do we spend our time, our energy, our passion? Who is number one in my life and in your life? That's our thought as we go through today's service. Let's continue in worship.
Good morning. I'll be reading from Luke 2. 21 through 33, if you would like to follow along. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him.
Good morning. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through 52. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men.
Good morning. Okay, so I guess a week or two ago, Jeff sent us this message about, hey, it's College Sunday, we need people to do stuff, and this is what we're talking about, you know, with, you know, you get all excited about sports and college, you know, and
why can't we get that excited about Jesus? And I was like, oh man, God has been teaching me this lately, so I guess I should talk. Let me start off by saying, I guess the biggest point that I want to make out of all of this is don't forget about Jesus, because he obviously doesn't forget about you, whether you realize it or not at the time. This past semester particularly, but I guess more so in the past year, I don't want to say that I've distanced myself from God, but I wasn't making him a priority like I should have been. In reality, it kind of started well before I even went to college. I mean, probably senior year of high school, I stopped having my personal time with him and reading and praying and everything. But it was one of those things where I almost kind of subconsciously justified what I was doing because I was always here doing all sorts of things. And then on top of that, you know, in the summer I was at Caswell, and you're completely submerged in God while you're there, even if you don't have your personal time, because you do morning devotions and then, you know, boy-girl devotions on Tuesday nights and then group devotions on Wednesdays and then help leading other devotions on Thursdays, and then Sunday you have it twice a day, and so, like, you're always there. Even though I was getting all the good God stuff, I wasn't getting it on my own personal time, and I didn't realize how bad it had hindered me and our relationship and everything until probably a couple of months ago. This semester, I didn't really go to church that much. I wasn't really kind of getting into any kind of God anything at all, unless I was here for a weekend. And it's not that I was running around misbehaving or just acting stupid, but it was more of one of those things where, you know, I'm hanging out with my roommate, watching movies and really bad sci-fi till 4 a.m. And then when it's time to get up and go to church, you know, your head hurts and you're like, yeah, we'll just hit the snooze. It'll be okay. But the couple of times that I did go to church, I realized how bad I was really, really lacking, you know, that relationship that, you know, it kind of dwindled away in the past couple of years. So I've been thinking about it a lot, but between school and work and I guess a little bit of the social aspect of things, you just kind of sit there and you kind of put it to the wayside of, okay, well, I should spend time with you, but I'm just going to take a nap instead because I'm really tired. But just a few weeks ago, I had a friend from Caswell. We've been trying to get together to hang out, and I was like, okay, so when are we going to hang out, Jared? And he's like, well, I just found out that my Bible study that meets on Mondays is going to be in Blowing Rock this week, because I have a friend that goes to App that, you know, we're doing at his house, and he's like, you want to come with? I was like, okay, you know, that'll be cool. I probably need to go anyway, so. It was at that point where I really was like, oh man, you know, I've been missing this. This is kind of a big deal. You know, God's kind of hitting me here, because I had the social aspect of things, you know, of just that good, you know, tight-knit fellowship and then the good worship to go on top of it. And that's when I really, really, you know, kind of, I don't know, it was almost like an aching sense of I really, really miss this and I'm not where I should be. And so I had a talk with Jared about it, and he's like, well, you know, he's like, I'm going to start holding you accountable about this. He's like, I'm going to be the little angel on your shoulder telling you that you need to go to church. And I was like, okay, it's a little weird, but sounds good. So with Jared kind of giving me this encouragement, it made it a little bit easier, and I started going. And I'd went the Sunday before I came down here, and we had the cantata, and that was cool, and we'd read from Zephaniah. And that was kind of neat, and, you know, but it just kind of, I don't want to say that I kind of took it for granted and just kind of read it and went on, but I kind of did. And so then he had introduced me to the friend that had the house, you know, that goes to App, and he's like, I'm trying to get her to go to Lenore all the time to come and see me. He's like, you should start driving her to this Bible study. And he's like, sure, that'd be totally cool. We can do that. And that ride from Lenore and back was probably one of the best experiences that I've had in a while, because Joseph Hoffman is amazing. You can tell that his heart is so in God, and he's just completely in love with him. And it is spectacular and so refreshing to have that, because even though I had Christian friends at school, they weren't the ones that were really acting upon it. So you still weren't getting that, you know, fellowship and fulfillment. So on the way back, we kind of had a discussion about it, you know, and he was asking me about why I wasn't going to church and all that, you know, stuff. And, you know, I kind of told him that, you know, it's not that I was, like, upset with God. It's not that, you know, we had a problem or anything. We just weren't spending time together. And I realized how much I was missing that. And, you know, he's like, yeah, he's like, I can understand that, you know, it happens, you know. And I was like, you know, it's not that we're on bad terms. It's just almost like kind of God and I have hit a plateau. And he's like, well, that's cool, but if you're not growing, then you're falling. And I was like, oh, man. I was like, coffee just Jesus burned me. I was like, that's so lame. Oh, man. But it was one of those things that what he said about that really hit me the hardest. And he's like, you know what? He's like, I'm going to hold you accountable. He's like, I'm going to be your accountability partner, which is kind of crazy when you barely know a person and they tell you that. But at the same time, it's kind of cool. So, you know, I've been pondering about what he had said about this whole, you know, if you're not growing, you're falling. And I was doing my Bible study. It was like 2 a.m. And my book had been talking about God's goodness for the week. And it took me to Zephaniah. And I was like, okay, I got you. Zephaniah on Sunday, Zephaniah now. We should probably pay attention. Okay, cool. And it took me to chapter 3, verse 17, which said, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Which is such a great verse anyway. But then I also thought it was kind of neat because that song came on the radio and we had a big talk about it after we'd have this big, you know, hold you accountable God talk. But then I switched it over to the Message. And it just really hit me because it said, your God is present among you, a strong warrior there to save you. Happy to have you back. He'll calm you with his love and delight you with his songs. I almost cried because I was like, ah, this is so cool. This is so cool. So like I'm getting on Facebook and like messaging him at like 2 a.m. I'm like, okay, I know it's really late, but I just got to tell you this because it was like really, really awesome. So, you know, I've come to that realization about how much I just really, really need God, you know, and that even though I kind of forgot about Christ and everything and I pushed him to the wayside kind of unintentionally, it's that remembrance of he doesn't forget about you and he's sitting there waiting for you to just kind of come back and be like, hey, you know, I'm here when you're ready to hang out. That's cool, you know. And, you know, he's not the ugly friend that's like, why haven't you been here? What are you doing? Come on, really? I tried calling you and nothing happened, you know. He's that friend that, you know, you don't talk to for forever, and then you can just go and pick right back up. And that is so spectacular, and I am so excited that I'm kind of getting back into it. You know, I kind of, that fire was gone for a while, but it's kind of, it's blazing again, and it's awesome. So, you know, I really challenge you guys to not forget about Jesus. Because you don't realize how bad off you are without him until you are, like, really in left field over there. So, there you go.
Thank you. Please bow your heads.
Dear God, we're coming to the end of the holiday season. We finished a Christmas celebrated in your name by acting towards each other a little kinder than we might normally, thus embodying the Christmas spirit. Lord, as we have given to our friends and family, let us not forget the importance of this offering and giving to those less fortunate than ourselves, because doing so continues the Christmas spirit year-round and turns our reasons for giving away from because it's simply December to giving just because we're dutiful children of Christ. Let this offering be blessed with that Christmas spirit. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
should find me all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Yes, I surrender.
As Melissa shared with me her story, God was doing something, and I believe that He has a message that I know He wants me to hear, and I hope that it's a message that that all of us might hear God speaking. Will you pray with me? Father, as we continue to celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ, it is overwhelming to think about what that really means. Help us as we dive into your word, as we open up your scripture, that you would speak to us and that we would have ears to hear. Thank you for those that are here this morning. Thank you for their willingness to come and to worship you. May everything that's done in this place be done to glorify you and you alone. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. As I said a few moments ago, everybody loves Christmas. Don't we love Christmas? I mean, it's all about presents. It's all about a great story. You know, it's an underdog story. If you'd never read the Christmas story, you read it for the first time, you see these two young people traveling miles and miles against all odds to travel to this small town to give birth to this child in a dirty stable. We win. You know, it's this, you read the story and go, yes, that's exactly what I love to hear. And we come at Christmas time and we decorate things. We put Christmas trees up. We love Christmas. Now, and then we get together for food. We have family over. It's not for long. I mean, we don't have family over for long, so that's a good thing, right? I mean, if we were to agree. So we get to see everybody that we love, and then we get to say goodbye to them. You know, we love Christmas. What else can make you feel good but to see in the manger the baby worshiped by the animals, worshiped by the angels, by the shepherds? We love to hear those things. We love to give gifts. We just love Christmas. But you know, I thought about it. Now that Christmas has passed, and we are still celebrating the birth, Easter is just a short time away. And I began to think about how could God communicate that to me? And, you know, it's kind of like all this stuff that you see here in front of you. We love our schools. We love Salem College. We especially like Salem College. Whitney did a great job bringing all her Salem College stuff. You know, all of this stuff. We like having, and we like telling jokes about our rivals. You know, we like tearing our other teams down. We like being number one. We like winning. We're human. We like winning. Even when we lose, we've got to tear the other team down so that they feel worse than we do. That's what we like. You know, that's what winning is all about. We have got to be on top. We don't always like it when it looks like we're losing. And I think if you look at Jesus' life, from the time that he was born through his death and resurrection, there's an interesting thing that happens. You know, a few moments ago, we read the scripture about when Jesus was in the temple, when he was a teenager, and he was amazing to listen to. The teachers were amazed at the answers he was given to the questions. They were just, we'd love to hear Jesus was winning. He knew the right answers. And you see throughout the beginning of his teaching, he goes to the Sermon on the Mount and he teaches blessings. And people gather around him. They said, this guy's a winner. He's the king. He's the Messiah. He would teach. He would heal. And people would flock to him. People would come after him. He would feed them. When he fed the thousands of people. This guy, he is our guy. He is the man. We're number one. We're going to win. That's the way Christmas starts out. This amazing story of how Jesus was born in a lowly manger. And he begins his teaching and he goes throughout the land and people are attracted to him. But you know, he did some things to make some people angry. He began to look at the people in society that society saw as losers, as misfits, as outcasts, and he pulled them in. And that made the people who were in power angry. He began to call out the political leaders and the spiritual leaders of his day. That made him unpopular with some. He talked that you were going, as believer in him, you were going to have a tough time. And people started going away. He even went so far as to go into the temple and to turn over tables and to disrupt things. All of a sudden, he wasn't as popular as he had been. He had been a winner, but then he started telling people it was going to cost you something to follow him. And I began to think, how does that apply for college students? How does that apply for you and for me in the working world, with family, with friends? How does it apply to us? And then I found a piece of scripture I want you to turn to. I've got my bookmark here. I want you to make sure you see my bookmark. This is my bookmark. I'll put this down here. But Colossians chapter 3, verses 11 through 17. I'll be reading from the NIV, and there are pew Bibles there in front of you if you don't have your Bible. We'll start in verse 11 and read through 17. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We like to, as you look at verse 11, it says here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised. Now, I thought it was interesting that Paul, what he's saying here is the way you used to classify yourself, the way you used to group yourself, Jew, non-Jew, the ones who follow the law, the ones who didn't, we're getting rid of those things. You know, all this stuff here, we're getting rid of all these titles, all these things that you've defined yourself as. You know, all these things that you've spent time and money working on, all of this stuff, all of it is going away. We're not doing it this way anymore. We're not doing it like the world says we do it. We're going to change things up a little bit. All these degrees that you say are important and that you work so hard for, they really don't mean anything in comparison to what I've got. And so all this stuff, all of it, is meaningless. But don't we spend a lot of time collecting stuff? Don't we spend a lot of time working at our jobs and forgetting the purpose of our jobs, of those things that we say are important? We forget the one thing that's even more important. Look in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, do you realize God chose you? You are a part of His team now. It's no more of this. You're not defined by winning and losing. You and I are not defined by anything other than God. And if we seek to define ourselves by which college we get in, which degree that we have, how many national championships we have, if we have the right job or not, if we live in the right house or not, all of that stuff is gone. But that's what we spend all of our time worrying about, isn't it? But God reminds us, we are His chosen people. He put His hand on your shoulder and said, I love you. You are mine. You are on my team. And guess what? That makes you a winner. We're number one. But it's going to cost you something. That's the tough part at college or otherwise. That's the tough part, that it's going to cost us something to follow Christ. Jesus had to go to the cross, and He reminds us that everybody who follows me will have to take up their cross They will have a burden to bear. And this is why I'm amazed by this scripture. God has chosen us. If you and I believe that Jesus is God in the manger, if we believe that when he was born, that was God incarnate, then we have no choice that when God is on the cross, we have to claim him as God then too. We can't say he's just God over here, but not at the cross. And if he is God at the cross, then he deserves to be God of your life and my life. And that means every day, not just at Christmas, not just at Easter. And he gives us some instructions. Look at verse 12. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe, and I'm reading this from the Message, it's a little different. Dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And then I'm going to move down to verse 16. Let the word of Christ, the Message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. My prayer for us this Christmas is as we are celebrating with family and friends, as we are thinking about the power of the stall, the manger, the stable, the star, God came to Bethlehem for a purpose. And it is for you to follow him. He came to save you and to save me. College students, I know how hard it is, as Melissa was talking about, I know how hard it is to make church a priority, or Bible study, or reading scripture. I know how hard it is. Because there are a lot of distractions. There are a lot of things that pull on our time. Don't lose your foundation from this church. Many people are praying for you, thinking about you, wanting the very, very best for you. But that's not only for college students, that's for all of us. In the busyness of our lives, do not forget that God has laid his hands on you as his chosen people with a purpose. That should give us strength and something to worship and to celebrate. And that is when Christmas has the true meaning. Will you pray with me? Father, as we have thought about who is number one in our lives, remind us that you do not define us by worldly standards. You define us by our heart and by our life on the inside. Father, help us to remember that the story of Christmas does not end in Bethlehem. But Jesus traveled a difficult road with a purpose. Help us to decide that because you died on a cross for us, that we will live for you in our words, in our actions, whatever. And that's when we will understand the true meaning of Christmas. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a great hymn, hymn number 305, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. My prayer for us as we think about what has been prayed and sung and spoken about, I wonder, what is God doing in your life? And what do you need to give over to Him? The altar will be open. I'll be down here. Raymond will be here. You are welcome to come and to make a decision public. This is a loving place, a warm place, a place that loves college students, that loves teenagers, that loves families, that loves people of all kinds. You will find a place that's committed to living out the Christ story each and every day. So whatever decision that you need to make, a first-time decision, we'd love to talk with you about that. If you don't know what I've been talking about and understand it, or if you need to make a recommitment, we'll be down front as we stand and sing together. She is coming this morning. Many of you know her. She's been a part of this congregation for several months now. And she's coming, says she wants to join in full fellowship with College Park as a member. She's coming by transfer a letter from a sister congregation here in our city. And we'll be following up on that. But if you will love and encourage her, as you have been doing all along, and continue to do that and support her, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Fantastic. I want to invite you to come by at the conclusion of the service after the benediction and greet her, extend again a warm hand of encouragement to her. Also want to let you know before you leave today, if you purchased a poinsettia, we appreciate you allowing us to have these on the tree behind me. You can take them home today, though. If you would please take them home today, or give them to someone that you care about and will love home today. But they're going to be handing those out at the end of the term. I invite you to do that.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.